Well, after nearly 20 decades of exile in the Woodhouse for barbaric acts against humanity and a very slow rehabilitation on the continent with French and German philosophers, I'm happy to report that belief is once again welcomed among us as an acceptable weapon against nihilism. With those hordes shaking the ground right outside our gates, some in the civilized world line up for defense behind the utopian promises of secular scientism. Some behind the even more suicidal versions of Christless Christianity. And some behind the absurd absolutes of religious fundamentalism. And some have even come to understand the wisdom of the West Catholic heritage and have, as a result, embraced the power of basic belief as the first best step in the dangerous project of shining a light into the darkness. Luke's gospel story of meeting Jesus on the road to Emmaus greatly clarifies this last option for us. If our eyes are to be opened, we must first believe, and only then will the need for sight disappear. As the disciples walk to Emmaus, Jesus joins them. And since their eyes were prevented from recognizing him, the disciples confess their deepest doubts about the events of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. "We were hoping," they say, "that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel." The disciples tell Jesus about his execution, his burial, and the discovery of his empty tomb by the women. They report, "Some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." Jesus' reaction to their doubt is telling. He doesn't accuse them of being blind or stupid or deluded. He says instead, "Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke." Their inability to understand the events of Easter Sunday is rooted in an unwillingness to believe. They went to the tomb to see, but they did not take with them their eyes of faith. So Jesus patiently teaches them again the heart and soul of the prophetic tradition. God will come to his people in the person of a Savior. This is a promise fulfilled in their hearing. But it is not until Jesus blesses, breaks, and gives them the bread at table that their eyes are opened and they see. The instant they recognize him for who he is, he vanishes from their sight. They believe, they recognize, they see him, and seeing is no longer necessary. You'll remember just last week or so that Jesus stood before an angry crowd, busy gathering stones with which to stone him. He urged the crowd to believe in his good works so that they might come to realize and understand that he is the Christ sent by the Father. The evidence he offers is only good as evidence if they first believe. This is basic. It's primary. It comes first. Belief is fashionable again because we have exhausted, for the most part, the modernist project of scientific absolutes. And we have discovered along the way that for all of its usefulness, science is a story we tell about the world. Like most stories, it has its characters, plots, settings. It has its wondrous acts. But unlike most stories, it does an excellent job of explaining what we think we see and hear and taste and touch. What it cannot do as a story is tell us about how to live in wonder at all creation, how to thrive in love with the very fact of just being here. Scientism demands that we place our faith in an investigative method. Christless Christianity demands that we place our faith in the children of the hard sciences, sociology, psychology, economics, and history. Fundamentalism demands that we place our faith in the infallible genius of the individual's zeal for absolutes. What does Christ demand? How do hearts slow to believe catch fire? As Jesus and his disciples approached Emmaus, Jesus gave the impression that he was going on farther. But the disciples urged him, "Stay with us." And so he went, and he stayed with them.